Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us bow our heads and open our hearts. Gracious and loving Father, we come before you today seeking your presence and wisdom. As we gather around your word, we ask that you would activate our faith, stirring within us new passion, deeper passions, and unwavering trust in your promises. Speak to every heart in this place, Lord. May your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts and transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to see you all. Today we are going to explore what it means to activate your faith. To activate our faith. No matter your age, background, or wherever you are on your spiritual journey. Perhaps you are facing tough trials or wrestling with unanswered prayers. Maybe you are burdened for someone who is wandered from the truth. In every circumstances, God invites you to step out in faith, to stand patient in trials, to pray persistently, and to pursue passionately those who need God's love. Yeah, in the previous Bible passage, James 5, 1 to 7, James described the combination of economic and religious persecution that many early Christians suffered at the hands of the upper classes, that the innocent had little ability to resist the machinations, the plots, or the schemes of the rich. And the teaching is that a believer who seeks spiritual growth dare not be caught up in the accumulation of wealth for himself. He should share his possessions for God's glory and needs for others. Now let's walk through three powerful ways to activate our faith while facing difficulties drawn from James 5 verses 7 to 20. First, practice patience in trials. Be patient until the Lord returns. Let's read together verse 7 to 8. Ready? Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Okay. So, do you know how many imperatives in today's Bible passage? There are 14 imperatives. That means it's an important passage that urging us to put words of God into action. Let's try to do it for our good and the glory of God. In the original language, Greek, patient makrothymeo, trying to read it, means to stay calm while waiting, have patience, wait, to bear up, to endure provocation, wait patiently for something. And the imperative, establish, sterizo, means making inwardly firm, strengthen your heart, set your mind firmly, fix on God in faith. So, look at this slide. How many times does James mention be patient in this slide? Three, yes, three times. Important matters are often repeated three times. James is urging believers to maintain patience while awaiting the Lord's return. With the imperative verbs, be patient, James encourages the believers to think long, focus on the final lap of the race of life. Look ahead to Lord's return. Gladly receive the trials that wash into our lives. Since these trials produce steadfastness, whatever global Christians are suffering today, you and I, as believers, must activate our faith. Set our mind firmly fixed on God in faith. Through practicing patience in trials, believing that God will make things right at the end, knowing that the Lord Jesus is coming back. Here, the Lord's return refers to the central hope of Christian eschatology. The anticipated second coming of Jesus Christ. This hope of Christ coming back should inspire and motivate believers to live with a righteous and patient spirit, knowing that their labor in the end is not in vain. The farmer illustrates figure used by James introduce. The farmer is an illustrative figure used by James to exemplify patience and faith. It's a perfect example for practicing patience. Imagine planting seeds, not seeing fruits for weeks, monthly. Farmer. Yep. My brother had planted a few durians. My brother in Malaysia, Sabah, he had planted a few durian trees of King Musang. Have you tried King Musang? Mao San Wong. Yes, Mao San Wong. Do you like? Anybody like durians here? I see some fans only. Yeah. Maybe some of you may not know what durian is. It is a kind of spiky fruit. Last week, Reverend Jeffrey and I went to visit my brother in Sabah, Malaysia, East Malaysia. And we were blessed for being able to taste some organic King Musang durian. It's super, super delicious. But you know what? My brother said, you need to wait for 7 years to harvest the fruits after you plant it. Imagine. You see, the farmer needs to wait patiently for the rain to be needed in the fall and in the spring. The eagerly look for the ultimate valuable crops and or harvest to ripen. The farmer's reliance on natural processes symbolizes the believer's trust in God's timing. God's timing. Likewise, God called us to trust Him, to activate our faith in the waiting, to activate our faith. We must be patient, be strong and courageous, for the day of the coming of the Lord is near, knowing that He is working even when we cannot see the future. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Look at this card. Jesus Christ is coming back. Yes. These cards were hanging everywhere in 11th floor a few months ago to remind the children, youth, adults, last month, not a few months ago, during our VBS. What's the title for the EBS? The Wonder Junction, right? Yes. Remember, do you put this message in your mind daily? Do you put this message in your mind daily? Jesus is coming back. If you do so, your life is going to be very different. You can try it. So, brothers and sisters, be brave while facing trials or any difficulties. Activate your faith. Do not run away. We are to go through all kinds of stresses and storms in our lives. Believers are blessed because we have the Holy Spirit to be with us and to empower us. For the adults, waiting might mean persevering through financial stress, relationship struggles, or career setbacks. For our teenagers, it may be waiting for acceptance by friends, waiting for the results, or for God's direction in big decisions. The call is the same. Be patient. God's timing is perfect. Practice patience. Do not grumble. Let's read together, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the floor. The word grumble, stenazo, in Greek, means to express discontent, complain, groan against, complain of someone. James urges, don't grumble against one another. Most of the time when we were under pressure or stress, it's easy to complain or blame others, right? Yeah. Most of the time when we are under pressure or stress, it's easy to complain or blame others. Our tongue is hard to tame. Do you agree? Remember, I talked about the untamed tongue a few months ago. We must be careful not to take out our frustration to each other by grumbling against one another. The Lord Jesus, who delivered us from sin and want, is also coming to evaluate our lives as a judge. So let us encourage one another. Grumbling only robs us of joy and divides the body of Christ. Grumbling only robs us of joy and divides the body of Christ. Next time, when you want to complain, what are you going to do? Try praying for yourselves. Pray for the person or situation instead. Example of being patient. Let's read together, verse 10 to 11. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who work in the name of the Lord. See how blessed we consider those who have persevered. You have heard the job's perseverance and have seen the outcome from the Lord. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. James points us to the prophets and Job as examples of patience under suffering. The prophets refers to the Old Testament prophets who deliver God's message to his people. Prophets. They often face persecution and hardship for their faithfulness. For example, Jeremiah was put in jail and rejected by others. And Elijah had to run away because someone wanted to harm him in Kings. And despite these difficulties, they continued to follow God and did not give up. Their stories teach us that we should keep trusting in God, even when things are tough, and not let problems stop us from doing what is right. The endurance of the prophet serves as a testimony to God's faithfulness. Our perseverance and patience in trials can also be powerful witness to others. Remember Job in the Old Testament? Have you read about Job in the Bible? Good. He lost everything, right? He lost his family, his health, his money. Even though his friends were not very kind to his wife, and his wife told him to give up, he never stopped trusting God. In the end, God gave Job back even more than he had before. Job's story shows us that even when life is really hard, holding on and trusting God matters a lot. Verse 11, see how blessed we consider those who have persevered. This is from BSB. This means that the Bible teaches us that people who keep going through hard times without giving up are respected and rewarded by our God. Being strong and patient when life gets tough help us grow and gain spiritual maturity and blessings. The cultural context of the early church, which faced persecution and hardship, underscores the importance of endurance. Job is the perfect person, perfect example of not giving up in face of extreme suffering. His story is famous for showing how to keep our faith, even when you lose almost everything. Job kept trusting God despite losing his wealth, health, and family. Job's endurance is a type of Jesus Christ, who suffered innocently but never lost his faith in God. At the end of Job's story, God gives him back his health, family, and even more blessings, right? Okay, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This means God always cares about us and wants to help us. Even when we are suffering, we can remember that God is kind and loving. As you can see in Exodus 34, believing that God is good can give us comfort and hope, especially when life is difficult. We see God's love most clearly in what Jesus did for us. Speak honestly and clearly in verse 12. Let's read together. But above all, brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. James solemnly commands, but above all things, do not swear. As if he's saying, whatever you forget, do not forget this. Do not swear. Do not swear. Swearing here refers to making oaths or invoking something sacred to guarantee one's words. In the cultural context of this of the time, oaths were common in both Jewish and Greco-Roman societies as a way to assert truthfulness. However, James warns against this practice, aligning with Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5. The Jews were notoriously guilty of common swearing. James forbids this oath, but he does not forbid the taking of solemn oath before a magistrate. Have you ever heard people make oaths like this, saying, "I swear by heaven, I swear by earth," to prove their honesty? How about you? Have you ever simply made a swear in common conversation in the past? Ask God for forgiveness so that we may not fall under condemnation. Yeah, don't make promise you don't need to. Verse 12b, let your yes be yes and your no be no. These instructions call for straightforwardness, honesty, and integrity in communication. This advice is also what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, where he emphasizes the importance of truthful speech. When we speak, be simple and clear. Do not make extra promises or use special words to sound more truthful. If you always tell the truth, people will trust you, what you say. Your honesty should show in your words without needing to swear or make oaths. Honesty is a mark of genuine faith. In a world full of empty promises, let your word be trustworthy. Let your word be trustworthy. Adults and teens are alike. Your integrity speaks volumes about God you serve. Secondly, pray persistently for healing. Verse 13 to 18. Pray for those in suffering. Let's read verse 13. Ready? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Yeah. When people are suffering hardship, first, usually people will ask Google, ask YouTube, ask AI, or friends, or doctor to seek help and to seek information for solutions, right? And then maybe they will pray about it. That's good. But prayer is not our last resort. It's our first response when facing difficulties. If you are suffering emotionally, physically, or spiritually, the first thing you should do is take it to God immediately. Activate your faith. For adults, maybe you might mean praying through work stress, sickness, or family tension. For youth, maybe you are struggling with anxiety, loneliness, or peer pressure. God hears your prayer. Let's trust in God's sovereignty and care. Is anyone cheerful? This statement recognizes that life includes not only times of hardship, but also periods of happiness and satisfaction. The word cheerful implies a sense of joy and positive well-being. For the early church, this joy was present even in the face of persecution. This joy was present even in the face of persecution for them, as their hope was firmly anchored in Christ. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is frequently connected to the confidence of salvation and nearness of God in a believer's life. Joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is frequently connected to the confidence of salvation and the nearness of God in a believer's life. He should sing praises. Singing praises is a natural outcome of joyful heart. It is a way of showing thankfulness and honoring God. Do you have a joyful heart? It's a way of showing thankfulness and honoring God. Throughout the Psalms, we see the significance of singing as part of worship. In the New Testament, even while in prison, Paul and Silas sang hymns to God, proving that praise can rise above our circumstances. Singing praise not only bring glory to God, it also encourages and strengthens believers, reminding us and those around us who God is and what He has done. So when you feel joyful, let your joy overflow in songs of praise. Whether in times of trouble or times of cheer, our response should always turn us toward God. Whether in times of trouble or times of cheer, our response should always turn us toward God. Prayer in hardship and praise in happiness. This rhythm of seeking God is in every circumstances, draw us closer to Him and strengthens our faith community. Pray with faith for those who are sick. Let's read together. Ready? It's anyone you're sick. Let him call for the elders for the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. James encourages us, the church, to call the elders, anoint the sick with oil, and pray in faith. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Observe. Healing isn't about the oil, but about praying with real faith. Praying with real faith. When someone's sick, the most important prayer is asking God to forgive their sins. To forgive their sins. The great things we should beg of God for ourselves and others in time of sickness is the pardon of sin. The pardon of sins. To confess our sin, being honest about our mistakes, with each other, help us find peace and love. Being honest about our mistakes with each other, help us find peace and love. When a true Christian living for God and trusting in Jesus prays with a heart full of faith and hope, the Holy Spirit empowers them to pray and powerfully. And because they believe in God's promises, their prayers really make a difference. This is the way of experiencing the goodness of God. This is the way of experiencing the goodness of God. It's like when a friend believes, when a friend believes in you so much, they cheer you on. That's how God listens and answers our prayers. The phrase, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, signifies the authority and power of Jesus Christ invoked in the act of healing. Doing something in the name of the Lord implies acting according to His will under His authority. Acting according to His will under His authority. It reflects the belief that all healing ultimately comes from God, and that church acts as His instruments. We are God's instruments. This is consistent with the teaching of Jesus, who performed miracles and healings in Father's name. Brothers and sisters, if you know someone who is sick, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate, pray for them. Gather others, believe that God can heal according to His will. God can heal according to His will. Sometimes healing is physical, but often it's also spiritual and emotional. Right? Have you ever experienced God's healing? Have you ever experienced God's healing? Yes, me too, I have. Share our testimonies of God's healing power even when it comes in an unexpected way. Share to others your experience. See, pray for the nation. Let's read together. Ready? The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah has a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruits. James mentioned Elijah, who prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And it did not rain for 3 and a half years. Then he prayed again, and the rains returned. Amazing, right? Have you tried praying like this? Yeah, I have this experience. Lord, don't rain. Don't get me wet. Yes. Yeah. Real prayer works. Real prayer works. It's not about just saying words or rituals, but praying with real faith. Real faith, like Elijah. Look at Elijah's story in the Old Testament. Have you read about Elijah in Old Testament in the Bible? Well, good. It's powerful prayers. Worked because his powerful prayer works because he didn't just say the prayer in words, but he truly believed that God could act. When we pray, we need to focus. When we pray, we need to focus, really want God's help and trust him, activate your faith to him. Elijah's examples show us to be serious and passionate in prayers. So pray with heart and be bold like Elijah. Our prayer matters, not just for individuals, but for our communities and our nation. Dear youth, you are not too young to pray for your generation. Brothers and sisters, your prayers for our nation can change history. Don't underestimate what God can do through persistent, united prayer. Prayer is the appointed means to ask God's grace, His forgiveness and blessings. In the day of afflictions, nothing is more seasonable than prayer. It is necessary to exercise faith and hope under afflictions. It is necessary to activate your faith in trials. Third, pursue passionately for wanderers. Let's read together. Ready? My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone bring him back, let him know that whoever is bring back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. James, yes. The wander from the truth refers to someone who drifts away from the core beliefs and practice of Christian faith. The original Greek terms translate as wander conveys the idea of straying off, whether through mistakes, beliefs, or actions. It highlights a gradual departure from living out the truth of the gospel. Restoration, our over contamination. When someone strays from the faith, our goal should always be restoration, not judgment or condemnation. Approaching others with love and humility, we seek their spiritual health and healing, not their shame. Our action must reflect the grace and compassion that Jesus showed to teach of us. Every believer plays an active role in spiritual health of church community. Every believer plays an active role in spiritual health of the church community. We are to proactively reach out to those who have wandered, offering support, encouragement, and guidance for them. By stepping forward with care, we can help restore relationship and strengthen our collective faith journey. The message of James is that those who have been truly saved through the gospel must manifest that salvation in practical way in their lives. A transformed life of love for others should be the result of experiencing God's love. Brothers and sisters, there are people in our life, friends, family, classmates, co-workers who have wandered from God. Maybe they were hurt by church. Maybe they were hurt by church or distracted by the world, or simply lose hope. God is calling you to pursue them. God is calling you to pursue them with love, with patience, with prayer. Sometimes all it takes is just a text, a message, a coffee, an invitation to church, or simply listen to them without judgment. Conclusion and application. So how do we activate our faith based on today's Bible passage? Practice patience in difficulties, trusting God's timing and refusing to complain. Secondly, pray persistently for yourself, for the sick, for our nation, believing that God can and will move. Third, pursue passionately those who have wandered, showing them the love and grace of Jesus. No matter your age, God is inviting you to activate your faith in your school, in your workplace, in your family, and in your community, and experience the goodness of God in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word today. Help us to activate our faith, not just in word, but in action. Teach us, Lord, to wait patiently, to pray persistently, to pursue passionately those who need you. Use us, Lord. Use us to bring back, to bring hope and healing to a world in need. Strengthen every one of us here to live boldly for you. In Jesus' name, amen.